Welcome to the Real Triathlon Podcast. I'm your host, Garrick Lowen, here with Nicholas Chase and Jackson Lund.
Welcome back to the Real Triathlon Podcast. I am your co-host, Garrick Lowen, joined today with Lisa Bacaris, Jackson Laundrie, and the one and only podcast extraordinaire, Mark Dubrick. Mark just came back from doing what, like two or three podcasts today, and now he's joining us. So we're extremely privileged to have him with us today. But the reason that we have all of us here together is because we are doing an Oceanside preview, and that we have past champion Jackson Laundrie, future champion Lisa Bacaris, and
future runner-up Mark Dubrick.
Future runner-up Mark Dubrick.
It's awesome because I think
I'll take that. I'll take it. With this field, if I could cross the finish line holding hands, or at least close to holding hands with Jackson, that'd be fun.
It would. We've never done that.
Maybe you guys will have an epic sprint finish like Lionel and Rudy did for second place.
Everyone forgets that Jackson won that race in a way because of that sprint finish. But I know Jackson doesn't want to get in a sprint finish with me.
Yeah. In any case, what are we seeing? Like five or six guys on the start list? Seven or eight.
So, yeah, guys, this is crazy. Like, we haven't seen this filled up. We got 40 women on the start list. Absolutely insane. And then a whole 81 men. So they capped it. They closed the registration early. And some people barely even got on the start list. I think Paula Finley almost missed it. But she did get on there. And it seems like this is going to be pretty competitive. This is the start of the new Ironman Pro Series. So Lisa, do you want to explain to us kind of what the Ironman Pro Series is?
Yeah, so the Ironman Pro Series consists of, I want to say like eight or 19 races, and any professional elite license holding individual can participate. So it's an open, but it's an open challenge that any pro can participate in. It's the best of five races are scored, and you can have up to three Ironmans in there. You could do all five 70.3s. But essentially, if you win a race, if you win an Ironman, you get 6,000 points. Oh no, if you win the Ironman World Championships, you get 6,000 points. And every second you finish behind the winner, you're deducted a point per second. Normal Ironmans are 5,000 points. 70.3 Worlds is it
4,000? I think
4,000, and then just the normal 70.3s are 2,500 points for the win. So essentially, if you want to maximize the amount of points that you can get, you have to race three full Ironmans and two 70.3s. And you get 200K for the win if you win the whole series. If you have the most number of points at the end of the series. Which is like a big chunk of change. And then they actually pay 50 pros deep on each side, men and women. You stop making the bigger bucks after 10th, I think 11th through 50th, just get 5K each. That's the pro series.
Impressive because I just threw that on you. There's no preparation. So good job, Lisa.
She wants this position. The new voice of RTS podcast. Lisa Bacaris, Bacaris. There we go.
No, but I spend about an hour a week. I go to PT about an hour away, and I go once a week. So I drive an hour there and an hour back, and I listen to podcasts. And so I listen to like too many podcasts, and I know too much about triathlon that I never really wanted to know.
And their slogan is, every what? Second counts, right? Every second counts. Unless you're not doing the series. None of us are doing the series. Wait, Garrick, are you attempting three?
I was going to, but then I couldn't get into Texas, and I'm not doing St. George or Oceanside. and I'm not racing in June. So I think, and then I've been planning out my season this year, and I'm going to do, I think I'm mostly sticking to challenge races. So I'm not.
Maybe the challenge series. Bonus.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe. Not to hit a hot take early in this podcast, but if you're 11th place, 11th through 50th, you're getting 5K. You're not making money. You're still losing money on the season. What do you think?
So we talked about this. Yeah, we discussed this a bit on the last podcast. To do the full series, when I mapped it out, it was going to cost me over 20 grand to do it because the races just aren't placed that great.
That's insane. 20 grand. And of course, I mean, we know Ironman gives some like appearance fees, whatever, $500 check, a gift card, or sometimes $1,000. But I haven't heard many who get their like expenses, other expenses covered, like hotel, travel. So yeah, you're investing quite a lot for a lot of racing, a lot of full Ironmans.
But you still have the prize purse the same as it always was, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point. They are higher prize purses as well.
So, I think it's, I don't know if they're necessarily higher. I think a couple races are higher, but then there's a lot of non-pro series races that they cut back the prize purse, I think, a little bit. But even like 5K, so like 25K purses went to 20K. I think there's some like 10K purses out there too.
So they cut down to 10K. So they just cut those and then they reinvested that into 70.3 Worlds because 70.3 Worlds is more now.
I don't know where it came from or like what the, at the end of the day, how much total prize money is on like up for grabs for this year versus like last year or the year before. But I do think it's probably close to, if not a little less than last year for total prize purse, but with the Ironman Pro Series, there's definitely a lot more money in total up for grabs. So.
Yeah. The problem is though, like the guys finishing 11th to 50th in the series probably aren't making that much in prize money anyways, because they're probably finishing outside the top five in most of these races.
Yeah.
It just depends how it goes, because I think the 70.3 specialists are going to, some of them are still going to end up in the top 50 just because they're fast, even though the races they do aren't worth as much, but you will get guys who don't normally get prize money and girls getting into the top 50 because they did three fulls or whatever, and they're worth a lot. So like some of them are going to get the 5K and they'll be like, all right, cool. I never get prize money, so this is nice. But yeah, it's going to be crazy. Well, especially because it's going to be way harder to get prize money at all these races. Like Oceanside, the prize money is going to be so, like if you get prize money, you're probably having like a freaking unreal day, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, it's pretty stacked in a way. I mean, Sam Long doing it now.
What the hell is Sam Long? Like, that guy, is he going to try to do both series?
Yeah, he's doing them both. He's getting greedy.
He's not doing the Ironman series, is he?
No, he's doing Singapore.
Yeah. He's not.
Oh, sorry. I don't know if Jackson meant the full series. No, he wouldn't do the series.
Wait, so he's doing Ironman Oceanside series. And Singapore?
Yeah.
Why is he doing Oceanside then if he's not doing the whole series?
It's, well, honestly, I was looking at flights. You have to go to LA to fly out anyways. Not that that's a good excuse, but it's LA's a direct flight.
Even close to Oceanside. It's like several hours drive, isn't it?
It's only six.
Oh, yeah. I can just do a race 6 days before, drive 6 hours, fly across the planet to do a race that actually.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. But I think because of his result, like he can take a bit more risk. I wouldn't do it. I would still focus on it, but yeah, I think, maybe someone slid him a nice little check to come to Oceanside. Who knows?
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know how many other like Ironman races he'll do this year, Ironman branded or 70.3 races he'll do this year. So maybe this is just like one that he wants to check off the docket. And I know Laura, his fiance, is going, and I'm sure they're bringing their newborn Leo, so maybe it's like a family endeavor type of thing.
All right,
well, see dad race.
Yeah, he'll be able to see the whole thing really well. Isn't he, wait, he's less than one, right? He's like,
yeah, he's like 8 months.
Yeah, he's definitely gonna remember it.
Yeah.
Right. Do you guys want to jump into the men's pro start list and chat about you know, one characteristic about every of each of the 80 racers, 81 racers?
Yeah, Mark, you know them all, so you go ahead.
Yeah, I think Mark should list the entire start list.
All right, let me take a deep breath. Number one, Jackson Laundrie from Canada.
Jackson.
Number two. Laundrie. Yeah, huge start list. I bet we have 10 to 15 people not start. So I'm assuming there'll be, I'm going to guess and say 70, let's say 69 people on the start list, on the starting line. Hoping it's a, well, yeah, it's normally a beach start, right, Jackson?
It typically is, but last year they didn't do that because they said the water was warmer in the harbor, which was the same water as the ocean. So who knows what they'll do.
Okay, but we so want maybe a beach
start. We want a beach start because it's a long, shallow run in relatively. So that splits it up. If you're all starting swimming side by side, it's freaking really stupid at the first turn buoy when you have 80 guys. So
how far away is the first turn buoy?
It's not that close. Like, it's a few hundred, I think. But it's still, yeah. I don't know how they'll even feel.
Yeah, I want to see no one at that first buoy. I've been messaging a few people, recruiting a good front group. Jackson, I'm sorry. We talked about having to drop you.
Okay. I understand.
But who's yeah, there's some good swimmers, some really good swimmers in the field.
Is Helle Blue Jeans a good swimmer?
Yeah, well, it's tough to know with he is a good swimmer, I'd say. I mean, he doesn't come out front group in the WTCS races, but when you give someone like more, like he's fighting so many people who like have this great get out speed in these short course races. So when you give someone a little bit more clear water and they're not fighting 10 other people, that like sometimes they become a really good swimmer, but it's hard to tell. I mean, at Indian Wells last time he did a 70.3, he came out a minute down, I think, but in like the front group to Vince. I think he was in the front or the main chase group, but Vince was a minute ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and then he ran a 108 there. So
yeah, with the penalty, right?
Well, yeah, 5 minute stop on the bike. I think he's probably in. I would say he's the favorite.
Yeah. Well, he was doing his workout at 106 pace, so that means.
That means he can run 106. Is that how that works?
Yeah. Especially if you just say you were running at race pace, then it counts. But no, yeah, he's obviously going to be really good. Anytime a top level ITU guy comes and jumps into the long course, usually they're pretty solid, like at least over the last few years I've noticed. Sometimes the bike's hit and miss, but he obviously is pretty dialed in, so yeah, he's gonna be
good.
Yeah,
he's not a newbie to 70.3.
I wouldn't say he's the favorite, though. I would say he's still probably probably Sam Long. I mean, that guy,
oh yeah, him and Sam. Yeah, I didn't mean like solely him, but like favorite for the podium, I guess.
Yeah. No, I would put Sam Long up there. He's just so consistent. The only bad race he had last year, I think, was that race, Oceanside.
And then he left his coach.
Yeah, and everything changed. So,
what do you think about Patrick Langa? Like, where is he going to stack up in this type of field, being more of like a long course, you know, like Ironman type of athlete?
He'll still probably really good.
Yeah.
But it's hard to know. Like, he's a good swimmer. He'll be with the like lead main group, but I don't know. Like, with 80 guys, it's hard. It's sometimes harder for like a small little group to get away, just because there's so many different levels of ability. Somebody can seem to close the gap and stuff, is what I've noticed. But that means it'll be like all kind of strung out probably, and then the bike kind of sorts it out early on. And so it's just whether he gets into the like front bike group or not will be the question. But I don't think you're going to see him like bridging gaps and doing like anything heroic on the bike. I think he'll stay with a pretty good group, and then he'll probably run like 110. So he could easily get on the podium or even potentially win. Like, if you get off with the lead group and we're on 110, That's like, because the bike at that race is always really, really hard. So it's like the people push the hills like crazy. And always when you're getting over the top of a hill, if you're in a group, like if the group's more than three or four guys, the like fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth person is so strung out by the time the first guy gets over the top, like they have to put in a huge sprint to try to get on. So through the hills, the groups never survive in that race more than like five guys tops. So that's
kind I didn't realize it was such a hilly course.
It's pretty hilly in the like 40 to 70K ish. There's some big one. There's some like just long hills, like 3 to 5 minute hills.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So it's pretty solid for sure. And then there's like, it just, there's not much of the bike course that's like easy because there's not a lot of it that's just straight flat. So you kind of always have to be closing gaps and working. So even early on, though, it doesn't like look hilly or anything. It's just technical enough. And there's just enough turns that like you just aren't ever really settled. So it's a nice, honest bike course for sure. The easiest part of it is the last probably like 15 to 20K where there is.
When you're forced to go 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Isn't
oh, there is that part.
Isn't that like on one of the big descents? And we get to go 35.
Yeah, it's 35. And it's like, yeah, I feel like it's at like 60K-ish.
Is that a no passing zone too?
I can't remember, but
no, I'm sure it is.
Everyone's trying to go like,
so if it's a no passing zone, why don't you just go to the front of the group, slam on your brakes, let all those guys go by you, and then they're all DQ'd.
I don't think it's a no passing zone. I don't know.
How long is that section though? Is it like a mile or like half a mile?
No.
A minute.
I think it's something like 30 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, that's it.
And there's like three like speed cameras showing you your speed as you go. So you don't actually need to have speed on your computer either.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
And everyone just kind of like takes it pretty conservative and doesn't want to get DQ'd, I found.
Daniela Reef got DQ'd at this race a couple years ago because she
exceeded
the speed limit.
I just heard she stayed in TT and just sent it through it.
Yeah, some people just don't. I don't know. Some people just freaking don't notice it or like something. But it's very obvious. Like it's hard to miss. You'd have to be really in the well to not see it.
And they've told us like five times already. And that's the one reason we have to wear the bibs or the number bib, right?
No, the bib is something to do with like identification because it's through like a military base. So somehow that was like an agreement with the military thing. It's like have a number, we could identify them pretty quickly through your system kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know.
Question for you guys on the guys side. Who do you think on the guys side outside of you two are going to make like it's going to be like a really impressive showing, not necessarily like a win or a podium, but someone that's going to kind of catch someone's attention?
Do you want to take that, Jackson?
Well, I was going to say Dark Mubrick, but
I hope so.
I mean, we already kind of talked about him, but I think Helly Jeans, however you pronounce it, probably like a lot of people still don't really notice the short course guys when they come across, because if you're like a fan of Ironman, you might not even really know, because a lot of people are more fans of one or the other. So if you don't really know who that is, you probably are kind of like, oh, here's another new guy. But he's going to be a weapon for sure.
There's not too many of those coming in. Besides Yele.
Yeah. But we got to shout out our British lads, our Font Remo training group. It's John and Lewis, right?
Yep.
John Thelwell and Lewis Donovan. Both their first pro race, I think.
I think so. Definitely for John. He's number 78, so really far down, page 2.
Yeah.
But he won the age group race in Florida in what, 8:14?
Garrick will know this. I don't think it was quite that fast, but it was like 8:20.
I don't know how fast it was, but that dude probably, the way he ran, when he went by me, because he was going just whatever. I was watching him run the other way. he looked like he was running like a 210.
Yeah, he's a strong lad. And then Lewis, I mean, they're not gonna factor in for like a podium, but first pro race, and they're strong boys, so hopefully they have good days. Joe Skipper, I mean, we turned to him too. I don't think he'll, I mean, he probably, well, who knows if he'll agree or not. I don't think he'll factor in for a podium, but he's definitely a guy who could be like in the kind of fifth to eighth on a good day, I would say. He's just such a diesel. Like he's probably not got like a 110, but he could for sure run like a 112 to 114 on a good day. And he's a very good biker. So he could for sure get up there and then like put together a really strong run.
Whatever he runs, double it, and that's what he's gonna run in Texas.
Yeah. So
probably
115. Yeah, so and we 230. Have a few
guys. We have quite a few guys doing the like coming over to race Oceanside, but main focus would be Texas. We talked about Joe just then, but that Florian Anger guy, he's a really good swimmer.
Yeah.
And a very good biker too. Yeah, I think he'll dictate the front of the group quite a bit. We got your boy Thomas Rodriguez Hernandez, Jackson. Mm-hmm. So yeah, keep the bike hot, hopefully up front. Justin Real probably push the bike. I'm looking at the start list now. Chris Lieferman, I feel like he's always knows how to be at the front of a race.
Yeah.
Brayden Curry. Obviously we got Lionel, if he's racing or not. I don't know if he will. And then there's so many people when you go down this list. Like Martin Yola got second at Oregon, biked with Lionel the whole time. Matt Hansen. Oh man, this list. I gotta give a little
a
shout
lot
out
of
to
them are oh go ahead. To who?
Michael Arashida. I feel like he's might, you know, he'll be up there. It just depends on the swim, and well, it depends on, yeah, kind of the swim. But
I think a lot of these guys are like, it's interesting because a lot of them are series focused for sure. Like Patrick Lange, Florian Anger, Lionel, Joe Skipper. They're all probably focus more on the Ironman series. So they probably know that, well, they definitely know that really peaking for Oceanside isn't as worth it as peaking for Texas. So it'll be interesting to see how many of them are kind of like just, you know, going to as part of their build for Texas. Like, I think everyone's going to taper and take it pretty seriously. But like Lisa said, 1 minute is 60 points. And if they kind of are 2 minutes or 1 minute off form, and then that gets them into the proper spot they need to be for Texas, and they go 5 minutes faster, 10, which is, you know, very reasonable to consider for a full. I think a lot of the guys will be doing that. So I think I'm going to say that the winner of Oceanside is not doing the Ironman series, like all like focused on it. That's going to be my guess. And likely even the whole podium, who knows? But especially when you got like Haley Geens and Sam Long there, who are probably the two most favorite of the favorites. Those two guys are going to be weapons for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about the women.
Yeah, let's talk about the women. Let's go. Lisa, show us what you got.
Well, I mean, I've scanned the list a couple of times. I just want to, I don't know who this person is, but I think she might be my new favorite pro. She's number 31. It's Megan. And I'm just going to pronounce her name Dorito because I've been literally eating like a bag of Doritos like once a week. So I'm like, she's my new favorite pro because her name is Dorito. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it though. And I know nothing about her. So this might be her first pro race, or maybe she's done a couple.
I'm going to go research.
Yeah. Let me know. I mean, she might be single, Mark. You never know.
You never know. Meg Dorito.
Instagram stalking. But I was actually super. What?
Get on those feet. NCAA and Olympic trial swimmer.
Oh.
Professional triathlete. Endure IQ. Team Zoot.
Oh. She's a Zooter.
There she's a zooter. Is that the new term?
I don't know. Yeah.
A zooter.
Oh. Part of the Ohana.
All right, so your new favorite pro is Dorito.
Yeah, she's my new favorite pro. I was actually kind of surprised, but also not super surprised to see Nib show up on the start list. But I think after hearing the story about how she desperately tried, or not desperately, but really tried to make it work once Abu Dhabi was canceled, to try to take like an overnight flight and race PTO Miami, or T100 Miami, whatever it's called. Yeah, I just know she's like super antsy to race, and obviously I think she's the favorite, having won here in 2022, and then obviously Tamara run one last year. I just think it's going to be a super interesting to see how it plays out, because you have really strong swimmers like Taylor Nib. You have Lauren Brandon in there. I don't know, this Olympic swimmer Dorito in there. I don't know how good she is.
Dorito.
how good she is at open water. So you have some strong swimmers. Fenella Langridge is a super strong swimmer. So I think in the women's field, kind of per usual, things tend to get strung out a little bit more in the swim compared to the men's, where like Sam Long might be coming out, you know, 3 minutes back from like the leaders, and everyone makes such a
hopefully
big
more.
Yeah. But in the women's race, it's like usually the chase pack is coming out like 3 minutes behind, and that's kind of the norm. So I think just, yeah, there's a lot of strong women with Tamara. And Paula Finley's on there. Emma Pallant Brown. Emma is an amazing runner. She's up right up there with Tamara in terms of like run prodigy. But she's also coming off like her not so great experience at T100 Miami, where she passed out. But she's an amazing athlete. I do think you're going to see a big kind of women's group similar to what you saw last year at Oceanside, where you had Tamara who hung in there, Paula Finley, Kat Matthews. I forget who else was hanging in there.
I think Holly Lawrence.
Yeah, Holly Lawrence, I think, was in there. So I do think you're going to see Taylor Nib off the front with the motos. And then you're going to see, I think you're going to see like a solid group of women kind of stick together. But
yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because now for sure, like I do agree for sure, Taylor's going to get away and have a really good chance to just hold the lead on her own. Especially just something about Oceanside, the course, the bike course just isn't a fast bike course. So like a really, really good bike split on the men's side is like 205. I'm not sure how many times anyone's even gone under 205. Like it's just not a fast course. And it might be like the air pressure, like temperature or something, but also the surfaces aren't usually like, they're not bad, but they're just, most of them just aren't really fast surfaces. And then
I heard they're pretty bad this year. That's yeah. Intel.
Yeah. I mean, it could be getting worse. There are parts that are rough, but anyways, the fact that it's a slow bike course gives an advantage to someone like Taylor Nib, who just, then there's just a few more minutes for her to put time into people. So yeah, that she's gonna be really hard to beat. But if Tamara is able to kind of hang in with that group like she did last year, like you said, Lisa, she could have a good chance to run her down. But also Paula last year just didn't have a very good day. Like from after the race, just listening to how she felt about the race, she was like just not feeling strong, and then she was, you know, mentally a little bit out of it and what just wasn't pushing. So I think a lot will depend on that, because if she's feeling strong and she's pushing, she's really hard to keep up with on the bike because she's so strong. So that can really change the dynamic of whether she's kind of like pulling that group along or just clear of that group and, you know, maybe riding solo second. Or yeah, I mean, she's probably not going to swim with Taylor, so probably riding solo second in that case. So that's one dynamic for sure. Keep an eye on in the women's race.
Yeah. And then you got something like Danielle Lewis, who had, she had a couple of really on point 70.3s last year. She's such a strong bike runner. So I think, and she beat like Jeannie Metzler last year at like, I want to say Chattanooga or Augusta or one of those. Like she had a couple podiums last year, which were super impressive, but I think her, it's always going to be how far back out of the swim is she? And then what the dynamics of the race kind of end up. But even someone like Maya Stage Nielsen, she's someone to watch out for too, someone who's super, super strong. But I think she might be aiming for the pro series, just because I know she's quite good at the full distance, but I don't know that. And then there's this girl, Lisa
Vicaris.
Yeah,
first race back after injury, right?
After how many
after
surgeries?
Another hip surgery?
After another hip surgeries. I'm really kind of...
All I know is you had the fastest bike split in Oregon.
Yeah.
Faster than Paula. And then I know you couldn't really run, but it seems like your running has been going really well. So I'm excited for you. You got to give yourself a little bit of a hat in the ring. So
do it.
Yeah. Dark horse, yeah. Lisa Vicaris.
I'm excited. I'm actually super, super excited for this race, and I'm trying to not have any expectations going into it, just because it's going to be my first like full racing 70.3s since Worlds in 2021, which is crazy to think about. So it's been like 3 years. But it's, I mean, 13 miles is still like a long way to go for me. I'm like, well, if we can just change it to like a 10K off the bike, would be pretty epic.
That's a good way to do it, though. No expectations, just race to like as hard as you can on that day, and then you'll be happy with it regardless.
Yeah, I do.
Is the run course is pretty easy, so that's nice.
Yeah, and that's like, I just heard that it's like the concrete really beats people up, which obviously doesn't matter like during the race, but like after the race, did you feel like that at all, Jackson? Like you felt up or not really?
Good friend of mine, Cody Beals, is a physicist, and he said that it's like concrete versus asphalt has no difference on like the peak forces on your body when you're running.
Oh, good to know.
Because you compress it so minimally, both of them, because like with shoes and like people aren't that heavy, like they're made to hold cars and stuff. So like the amount of compression in either of those materials is so small that like the body doesn't notice a difference. Obviously grass or something you would, but so it's all in the head. But there's a couple spots. There's one spot where there's like a really steep what is it? It's like a ramp to get up from the sea level road up to like the next level road. It's like short, but when you go down that, which you have to do twice, it's super steep. So like that can definitely be just that part alone. You're flying down that thing, and just, that can beat your legs up for sure. That's probably what does it for a lot of people.
But yeah, I think also I was listening to a different podcast about this, just coming back to the ground forces. Do you think that carbon shoes help you guys like recover faster? Like you don't feel as beat up?
Because
I've always feel like it's the opposite. I'm like destroyed when I wear carbon shoes versus like just like trainer shoes.
I find it harder some parts.
Is it comparing carbon shoes to racing flats or carbon shoes to trainers?
Carbon shoes to racing flats. If you were to just wear a non-carbon plated shoe, people were,
yeah.
Someone's like,
oh, I could not imagine doing an Ironman in racing flats, how they used to do them. That would destroy me.
Well, Patrick Lange won Kona with the Hanzo, which was like, no. But yeah, I think the carbon ones now with all the cushioning are way better than the old racing flats, but they're harder on the body than like a high cushion trainer, I would say.
Yeah.
It's more like your calves will take more of a load because that the eccentric loading when you're in mid stance, because the energy return is so high.
Yeah.
That it's significantly greater than just a regular trainer.
I've noticed definitely like calves and even like ankles and feet, like it pushes back so hard that that's where you take the force. But then your hips and stuff don't take as much of a beating, I found. That could just be the cushioning. So yeah, depends on what's your weak point, I guess. If you have like, you know, sensitive calves and Achilles and stuff, then the race flats are probably pretty hard on you.
I just always feel so disturbed. My calves are like, I think I just like tore both of them after I race in shoes. I'm like, fuck, they're done.
Yeah.
I just forgot what question I was going to ask about specifically Oceanside. Come back to me on that.
Okay, so I'll just give everybody a course rundown. if everything goes right, we got an ocean start, cold water, nice 56-ish degree water. Run-in's pretty long, pretty shallow for a bit, some dolphin dives, decent swells. So for sure practice that. The day or two before the race, I'll be doing it. Well, I'll do it. It'll be fun. And then once you're through the swells, it's actually not usually that bad. Like, it's just a matter of the sighting's a bit tough for the first buoy because you're going through swells. So there's freaking waves up 4 feet above your head and stuff. So that part's a bit tricky. And then after you get out, it's a pretty, it's not that bad. And like, you're kind of going into the current or against the waves. Then you turn right and you're going cross current and then you turn right. And then you're kind of coming into the harbor, and that part's fast because the ocean is like pushing you into the harbor. So that part usually is a little bit quicker, but as you come through that turn buoy, it accelerates. So you have to kind of get on the group because that's where it'll pick up. Then you get out, pretty long run to transition because you have to go like down and back. And then on the bike course, it just feels to me like, in my memory, both times, it's like just a little bit, not technical, it's just you're never on a road for very long in the first like 20 to 30K. So the groups just don't quite get settled. Like, you just have to really work if you are trying to like stay with a group. And then that's where it's chaotic because there's so many people coming out together. Like, someone's always getting dropped. You're always working and trying to like work your way up. And then it definitely settles after like 30, 40K, but then you start getting into the hills. And there's some long ones. There's none that are like super steep, but you know, there's some pretty significant climbs. And that's where Sam and I and Leo and George Goodwin kind of got away from the group last year. We caught them at like the bottom of the big hill, and then we just like hammered over the top and got away. And then the last 30K is pretty flat. And that's where, like, if you are in a group, that's where you're going to save a lot. In 2022, that's where our group, like, it finally felt kind of easy for the last 20, whatever, 30 minutes or something. And then the run, it just, to me, it feels like a fast run course just because the conditions are good. It's cold. Usually it's no more than 60 kind of by the end of the run, or low 60s. So it's nice. And it's a little bit rolling. And then there's that steep ramp that you have to do. You have to go up it and down it twice. And it's like an out and back that you do twice. But the second time you don't come all the way back. The finish line's not in the same spot as like the bike transition zone. But largely it's pretty flat. The far end of the course has some little rollers that break it up a little bit. But it's a pretty fast run course for sure. It's probably one of the fastest on the circuit just with the conditions. And like, you're always on tarmac. There's no like trails or anything. Like, it's just a good course. But the course overall just doesn't play, like, the times just aren't super quick because the swim is slow because it's ocean, the bike is slow ish and then the run is pretty fast, but it doesn't quite make up for it. So good challenging course, good one to kick off the Ironman season. Ironman, what is it called? Outside
every walk. Second counts.
Every second counts.
Wait, should we all pick a slogan for the series, our own slogan?
But we're not even doing the series.
Exactly.
F-U middle distance racers.
Yeah, I don't even have one. I was going to try to make something creative about three Ironmans.
How epic would it be? I really hope this happens. And Ironman sees like there's like a need for it. If that next year they have an Ironman series and they have a 70.3 series.
Mm.
Like, that'd be pretty cool, right? Come on, let's go head to head with the
PT. I like that. I like both series.
I feel like they made this series specifically to tiptoe around PTO. Like, it was like almost made in conjunction.
Yeah.
And it's almost as selective in a way. I mean, it's like, obviously there's no contracted athletes, but like three Ironmans, that's a huge ask.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's not a ton of people in the professional field that can actually do that well.
Well, some people are trying to do both series, like Kat Matthews.
I know, but I don't know what's going to happen because with her calf injury, I don't know if she's going to be able to get to the start line of Ironman Texas. And if she can't, it might put a whole wrench in the whole thing. But I don't know. I haven't followed the series in the calendar close enough.
But either way, the series, the Ironman series, was put into motion, I'd say, because of the T100 series, the PTO series. And we just got that email saying the increase, or like the gold tier for all series races. They took away the 5% rule to the foals. It's anyone can get that now. So it's really cool. And we just got the email as well about photo shoots. The Ironman has the website for all the pros. So it's really cool that what's happened because of the PTO series. Here's that trickle down, whatever, that we've been all talking about, which is good for all of triathlon, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my opinion, at least.
Yeah. Agreed. I do think Ironman could have stepped and gone the other way too, like really leaned away from pros when the PTO came about, but instead they leaned into it. And I honestly wasn't thinking that they would do that, but it's
good. Yeah, at least it was like, well, now there's gonna be no pro races. It's nice knowing you guys.
Yeah, they definitely could have done that. Yeah.
I was like, well, we're gonna go to
fight. Yeah. Now. What are we supposed to do?
I have
another hot take.
Yeah, hot take.
Hot take. This is kind of actually a tangent. I mean, I wish there were Olympic distance, like a lot more of them for pros, because we just have to like jump right into 70.3s if you're not doing short course. You got St. Anthony's, you got Nusa. I mean, Alcatraz now is being taken over, but that was already kind of selective. RTS, we've talked about this. We need to find some partners and sponsor an Olympic race, or maybe just one race. Let's start with one. And get a pro field at these at more Olympic distance races.
I think it would be epic. But and it kind of brings me back to like what the PTO did in 2020 when all those races were canceled, and they were like, oh, here, little podunk race. Here's a prize purse. And then bring the pros. Cause I remember going to Indiana, like this outside of like Fort Wayne, Indiana, and doing that Huntington triathlon that the PTO had like a prize purse for. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I started that.
You started it?
Yeah, I made a whole race and I was like, guys, can you just give us prize money? I'll make a freaking race. Pros will come do it. We'll make a video and everything. They're like, all right, sounds good. And then they're like, oh, actually, we can do this to other races too that already have a race. And then they did that for a bunch of other people.
Oh, well, thanks, Jackson.
You're welcome.
Did you make any prize? Yeah, thank you, Jackson.
Like 20% return. By the way, you can watch that race. It's called Canadian Pro Triathlon Championship 2020.
Is that when you had the 1 kilometer kick with Taylor Reed?
No, that was just the Benson Steele. That race actually gave us the idea, though, because it was like it was maybe a couple months before, and we're like, wait a sec, we could make a whole pro race here. We could get sponsors, it'd be great. And we did it at the same spot, and the bike and run were on the same loop. It was like
it was 100 loops of the bike.
It was something like 2.5, something like 2 to 3K, the loop. So the bike was like
30 loops.
It was an Olympic distance, and then the run was whatever four and change loops or something. But it was interesting because like we did a swim time trial start. This is some triathlon history here. We did a time trial swim start because it was COVID, right? So you couldn't do group stuff, especially in Canada, because we were real strict.
Yeah, the rest of the world was already back to normal at this point. This was Canada. This was
2022.
No, this is 2022.
Last week.
We did a TT swim start, and then your swim time, like in the open water. And then your swim time, like the fastest swimmer started first for the bike, and then they did it at based off your deficit so that whoever crosses the line at the end of the run first was the actual winner. And there was 10 men, 10 women. Everybody got prize money. It went 10 deep. And for the men's race, I was pretty much last. I was second last in the swim. And then, but probably I think was lapped because there's so many laps. By the time I started biking, I had already been lapped by the lead swimmer. So I had to like pass him, and then he actually repassed me. So I got relapped because he was an ITU guy, Charles Paquette, who just went out so hard and he was like going for it. And then I like passed him again. So I was a lap down, and then I relapped him. And so I was ahead of him. Then I'm pretty sure I lapped him again. But that's what happens when the loops are 2K or whatever. Like, it's just crazy. Anyway, it was pretty fun.
That's good. Those are some
good history.
Yeah.
Bad history. Wasn't that sponsored by Lululemon too?
Yeah, Lululemon, the PTO, and we got some other ones. Taylor Reed, actually, it was him and I who organized it, and then Barry Shepley, C3, helped us pull it together with all his connections. And yeah, it was good times.
Did Nick help organize the Bear Lake one, the Bear Lake Triathlon? Him and Sky?
Bear Lake Brawl.
Yeah, the Bear Lake
Brawl. Did. I'm pretty sure he did, actually, because he was talking, like, that was literally, I was talking to him about it, and he was like, man, I think we could do that with this over here, and like, and it just became like the concept for that year to keep triathlon going.
Yeah, that's, yeah, some good creative.
That was the start of Sam Long, kind of.
Oh yeah, that was when he was just becoming.
Yeah.
Well, that's when he won the Bear Lake Brawl, and
he made a bunch of noise on YouTube with like the KOM hunting on Mount Lemmon. Like, he was doing all this just like very loud stuff, but hadn't raced. Like, couldn't race obviously because of COVID. And I think that was the first race after all of this stuff. And he definitely showed up. I think that might be one of the coldest races, like overall triathlons. Like, you were getting, the warmest part was the swim, I guess. Yeah. And then just got colder from there because a big winter storm was coming through. I think some people rode the bike with their wetsuits because it was so cold.
Oh my God.
Sounds like perfect racing conditions, if you ask me.
Nick didn't finish. He sent me, I wish I saved the video. He sent me a video.
I remember the video.
And he was like, he like somehow had gotten back to his car like very quickly after he dropped out. And he had his phone somehow. And he's like, I can't get my helmet off.
I guarantee you that's still in the chat.
Oh, we should have the chat.
Someone needs to go search for it. Yeah, Nick does not do well in cold.
No. Like the high in Oceanside, I looked today, is that I want to say it's like 59 for race day, and like the low is, oh, it's at 60 now, and the low is 49. So like probably when you're getting ready for the swim, it's gonna be like 49 degrees. I don't know what that is in Canadian, but it's
Canadian.
Literally, the rest of the world uses Celsius.
Okay. You guys have to.
I don't know what that is in non-American.
You have to look up this SNL skit because my boyfriend just showed it to me today. It's a, like, look up SNL and like Washington.
It's the
imperial
revolution. Conflict. Yeah, revolution. It's SNL Revolutionary War skit or whatever, when they're like, what they're fighting for. It's so funny.
We're gonna make 1 yard equal 12 inches, and they're like, so 10 yards is gonna be 120. It's so funny. So you really have to watch it.
But yeah, Oceanside's always cold. Make sure you take at least 1 to 3 minutes in T1 to put on hats, gloves, Mark, remember this, base layer, everything you can. You'll need it for sure. Mickey Tagle pulled out from Mickey Tagle pulled out from hypothermia last year or in 2022.
He's from like Denmark, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what happened. Maybe he forgot to eat the day.
What's
before
the water thing. Temp?
It's around 56.
Really?
Oh yeah. Shit.
That's
Wait,
cool.
Can I say that? Sorry. Yeah. You might have to.
Yeah, you
out.
Can say that.
Shit, that's cold.
Well, 56. Last year they said it was 54, which is why they put us in the harbor, which was apparently 56.
We're I need to find my thermal cap. Harbor this year, then.
Yeah. But Mark, what about me in the front group, bud? 1743, 1500.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Speaking of that, tonight or today, there was someone who swam a 402 for a 500 yard.
Who?
Do that math. That Leon Marchand. 402, everyone.
I could
know,
do that
47?
For 350 yards, for sure. 350 meters, maybe. 500 yards. What the hell distance is that?
That's what we do in yards. America. That's what they swim instead of the 400.
Like, okay, so that's 48 point something per 100 yards.
Yeah.
That's insane.
50 fast. And someone went 128 for a 200 free. Or same dude went 128. He came through 150 in 104.
Isn't that crazy that like some people are like they try really hard to swim like a 128 100?
Yeah, right. Like most people, like most people listening to this podcast probably, I don't know, but a lot of them couldn't do a 128 100. That's fast. Like that's moving. Yeah. And there's just different levels when it comes to especially swimming because
we don't see swimmers. Like you don't see the pro swimmers swimming.
Yeah.
To an age grouper, we're like the triathletes who are swimming in open swim, we're the best swimmers they know. Because all the college swimmers and pro swimmers have their own time. They got the lanes booked, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so that's the goal then, 402, 500 yard. What's your best 500 yard time, Mark?
In high school, I went 447.
Okay.
That's I think fast. I could go, I thought about doing this 500 TT tomorrow. Some of the people at Aquabear are doing it, but I don't think it'd be smart. I bet I could go 445 right now.
Mark.
In that pool?
I don't know. No, I'd want to do it at Oro Valley, but we'll see. I might do 100 fast tomorrow in my new wetsuit.
Ooh.
Like 90%.
Dude, swimming in a wetsuit is, you don't, in the open water, you don't really realize, but when you take it into a pool, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
The master swim group I'm in it, wow, I'm having a stroke in Fort Collins. We opened the 50 meter pool last weekend and they put like four buoys. So we had the whole thing and we like swam squares around it. And I was like, I'm putting on a wetsuit because I haven't been in one in I don't know how long. And I was like, I'm fucking flying. I wish I always felt like that in the pool.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Never do until you do for a minute and then you cling on to it for dear life because it might just disappear next week. Well, I think we've previewed the race. We've done everything. I'm pretty much dead.
Yeah, I think so. Thanks for joining us, guys. So like we said before, actually like we said yesterday, Lisa is going to be joining us for more episodes. She's actually going to be in charge of making us more organized than we already are, which is just, you know, mind-blowing that that's even possible. but Mark, thanks for joining us. That's one thing, we got to get Mark on the podcast more because he's just a good personality and he always adds good value to the conversation.
Yeah, he's good value.
Thanks for having me.
For his time either.
So Jack said he's allowed, as long as he doesn't beat Jack too many times this year, he's allowed on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I rewatched that Cabo clip and you said you were going to have a good day unless Mark beats you. So I feel bad that you had a bad day in Cabo.
Did I really say that?
Yeah, you said it. Go put it in the show notes or something. You said, I'm excited to race. It's always good having the RTS squad out there. You know, it's going to be a good day unless Mark beats me. But yeah. I'm really excited. I feel like it's like the season opener for all of us. But also, Garrick, obviously we're missing you and we're missing Leslie. But it's going to be good to get the RTS squad almost fully together.
One day we'll all be at the same race. When that is, I
think
so.
Know.
Yeah.
Where, yeah.
One day. We'll make it happen. Challenge Quebec City this year. We're all going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
When's that? Let's go. I might go.
When is
it? Oh, yeah. So my cousin's buddy is the race organizer. So any questions, you let me know.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that. Perfect. I love that place. And I'll go to 70.3 Maine back to back.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to drive. It's only a 4-hour drive. I just looked it up yesterday. Yeah.
Is it Olympic distance or is it half?
We should get, what we should do half. Is we all half. Race Quebec City. It's a half. We all race Quebec City and then we go rent just a mansion on a lake somewhere in Maine on the way, spend 4 days there and then drive to Augusta and do the race.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Augusta.
Maybe we can have someone pay for that. Someone wants to be a team sponsor.
Oh, Maine.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll let Nick know. Nick will pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a write off.
It's a write off.
Yeah. It's a write off. Give it to the write off people.
Yeah. I freaking love saying that.
Well, but like, who pays for it? It's a write off. No, the write off, you write it off. All right, that's like super niche, but all right, guys. Lisa, you're gonna have to take us out. Do you know how the podcast signs out?
Yes, we do the peace.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. All right. Peace. Out.
I got ish to do. Flying through the sky in my parachute. Dancing on the couch like I'm Tommy Cruise. On a one-man mission trying to see it through.